7:21. I am Paul Harris, filling in for McGraw this morning. Thanks for listening. I want to share with you a quote about the influence of money in American politics. It is necessary that laws should be passed to prohibit the use of corporate funds directly or indirectly for political purposes. It is still more necessary that such laws should be thoroughly enforced. Corporate expenditures for political purposes, and especially such expenditures by public service corporations, have supplied one of the principal sources of corruption in our political affairs. Now, that sounds like it could have been said by somebody here in the 21st century, but it was actually said 111 years ago, 101 years ago, in 1910, by President Theodore Roosevelt in his New Nationalism speech. You can find that quote on the website of my next guest, Fred Wertheimer, who is the guy behind a group called Democracy 21, which is trying to fight the influence of super PACs, political action committees that are not directly tied to candidates, but which have a tremendous influence on particularly the TV commercials that you see during campaign seasons like the one we find ourselves in now. I've asked Fred to join me here this morning. Welcome to the Big 550 KTRS.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
So in this effort to do this, I know Bernie Sanders, the senator from Vermont, recently tried to introduce a proposal to get a constitutional amendment passed that would say, look, all of this outside money is bad. Let's just publicly finance campaigns. Does something like that have a chance of passing, Fred?
Well, the history of campaign finance laws in this country is that when we get major scandals and corruption, there that is followed by opportunities for fundamental reform. That's how we got the presidential public financing system in the wake of the 1970s Watergate scandals, and that system worked well for most of its existence. It broke down because it wasn't updated to deal with the costs of modern campaigns. Let me go back to that Roosevelt quote. Out of that period, we got a ban on corporate activity in our campaigns, no corporate contributions or spending. That lasted until January 21st, 2010, when the Supreme Court all of a sudden seemed to reach into the sky and find something that no one knew existed for 219 years, and that is a constitutional right of corporations to make expenditures in campaigns. And out of that came these so-called super PACs. Now, they're the greatest dangers for corruption in our political system today. And let me just tell you why. They are vehicles that support just one candidate, and they can raise unlimited money. Some of these presidential candidate super PACs have gotten contributions as big as $1 million and $2 million. So while you can give up to $2,500 to a presidential candidate, you can then turn around and evade and circumvent those laws by giving $1 million contributions to this super PAC, which is just an arm of the presidential campaign. So we have real problems with our campaign finance system today, and it's very dangerous for the interests of average folks.
In fact, there's a report this morning that one casino executive in Las Vegas, Sheldon Adelson, whose company owns the Venetian and the Palazzo, is going to give $20 million to a super PAC in support of Newt Gingrich. Now, when these corporations give this money to these super PACs, which are supposedly not really related directly to the candidates, they're supposed to be a Chinese firewall between the two of them. When they do that, they have to be expecting some sort of quid pro quo from the candidates they're supporting, right?
Well, that kind of money has the power to buy influence and buy results. That's why we have had a series of contribution restrictions enacted over a period of more than 100 years. Those restrictions have been upheld by the Supreme Court uniformly. All of the contribution limits and prohibitions on contributions remain in effect today because they can corrupt government decisions. These candidate super PACs are run by very close associates of the candidate, and it's just an illusion that there's any kind of real separation. They only spend money to support one candidate. When you give your $1 million or $50,000 contribution to them, you know that money is being spent directly to benefit the candidate, probably mostly on ads for the candidate or attacking the candidate's opponent. So it has the power to eviscerate restrictions that exist to prevent corruption of government decisions, and it's very dangerous.
So since Citizen United, almost 2 years ago, that Supreme Court decision declared corporate donations of, or anybody's donations of any size, including corporations, to be legal. You can't change that now with a law in Congress. You've got to amend the Constitution, which is what Bernie Sanders proposed last week. So I go back to my original question. Does that have a chance of becoming reality?
Constitutional amendments are very hard. That's one of the solutions being looked at. Its chances will depend on how bad and how out of control this system becomes. The most immediate thing we have to get is disclosure of secret contributions that are being spent hidden from the American people and being spent in campaigns. We had $135 million in secret contributions spent in the last campaign, and that's going to greatly increase in 2012. So we got to get disclosure. Candidates have to have a way to run for office without being dependent on influence money. And the way to do that is to empower citizens, make their small contributions more important, match them with public funds. And the third longer-term effort has to be to challenge this Citizens United decision, which in my view is one of the worst decisions in the history of the Supreme Court. You can do that by a constitutional amendment, or we can do it by challenging the very linchpin of that decision, because the court said if a corporation spends $20 million to elect you and it does it, quote, independently from you, that doesn't have the power to buy influence and buy results, and that's absurd.
That is absolutely absurd. So why can't we go to a system of simply having all political campaigns publicly funded? Maybe that would open it up to all sorts of wackos who would get the same kind of funding as a legitimate candidate, but that might be a risk that's worth taking if we were going to be able to get all of this corrupting influence of money, not just corporate money, but personal money as well, out of the system. Why can't we go to public funding?
Well, we can't mandate it. We can provide it as an option, as an alternative.
Which
that's what
now.
The presidential public financing system was. And for more than two decades, almost every single candidate who ran for president used the system. President Reagan was elected twice using the presidential public financing system, as was President Clinton. Every president elected from 1976 to 2004 used that system, at least for their general election campaign. So we have to head towards that kind of system, or else we are going to have a system owned and operated by influence money, corporate money, big donor money. You know, in the robber baron era that led to the ban on corporate involvement in campaigns, senators used to be known as the senator from Standard Oil, the senator from U.S. Steel. We're headed back to that kind of system, and we just can't go there. So there's plenty of work to do ahead, but there is the opportunity for change because we're headed for scandals and corruption in the way this system is working.
For more information on this, you can go to the website of Fred's group, which is called Democracy 21. They're online at democracy21.org. Fred Wertheimer, thank you so much for your time this morning. I appreciate
it. Sure, it's a pleasure.
Keep up the good work. 7:30 now at the Big 550 KTRS.